you feel here today. King of glory. We want his presence, amen. We need his presence, and I'm thankful for what I feel here today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just a few announcements before we take up our morning offering and tithe, but ladies, prayer is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, so tomorrow night at 7, ladies at the church, there will be prayer. Then everybody say, next Saturday, amen, the 16th from 9 a.m. to 5, Inspirations Point will be at the Hope Run Hear Awareness Campaign in Wasion, and we're asking for some donations of bottled water, Gatorade, and baked goods. If you can help with anything or some of these things, or if you want more information, please see Sister Donna today, if she could raise her hand. That's Sister Donna. And then September 19th is our 65 and older. They are getting together here at the church at 11 a.m. We're excited about that. If you have any questions or anything about information, please see Sister Helen for more details. And then also, all the men say, September 23rd, we'll take that. There will be a men's cook-off, a steak cook-off, the 23rd of this month here in town at Memorial Park, and there will be a sign-up sheet, or there is a sign-up sheet in the back if you want to go to that. If you don't cook like me, you can just show up and eat. So, and we have a running streak for the winners, so they have been doing great the last couple years. Amen. Amen. But this morning, if the ushers could come, let's take our morning tithe and offering, which is another form of worship. Amen. Aren't you thankful for this worship team? Amen. Amen. Lord, we come before you. We ask that you bless the gift and the giver today. We ask that you just speak to us in the way that you want to speak, God, that you have your way here in this service. And we pray for Pastor. We pray for his family. We pray for a covering over us throughout this week. In the name of Jesus, we pray for anyone that's dealing with sickness, anyone that's dealing with heartache, Lord. We ask that you touch this service. We ask this in your precious and your holy name. In the name of Jesus, come and give unto the Lord. Shake someone's hand. Let them know you're happy to see them here at Turning Point Church.
Today. No. Could I have your attention, please? Several days last week, the words "just be kind" was going through and through my brain. I couldn't stop it. I said, "Okay, Lord." Finally, after about the fourth day, "Okay, Lord, I get the message." There's a poem in here somewhere. So here it is. Just be kind. This world is in a turmoil, just messing with people's minds. We're so lost and confused, so always just be kind. We're fighting over everything, any little thing we can find. They don't do things like I do, so what? Just be kind. Any disagreements that come our way, somehow we must bind. Just shake hands and give out hugs. In other words, just be kind. If you're dining in a restaurant and the service is way behind, still leave a good tip and some sweet words. Don't forget, just be kind. We don't know what others go through. Their lives we can't define. Just to be on the safe side. Always, 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 just be kind.
Oh, let's all stand and let's just thank the Lord for his kindness and for his mercy. Thank you, Jesus.
Eternally kind, gracious, and merciful to us. We love you.
finances. He can be the God over your health. He can be the God over your home, your work situation, whatever you are in need of. He can be the God over that. And I am thankful for that here this morning. Amen. That I serve a God that is over and can do abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to his will. Amen, amen. I'm thankful for what I feel here today. And I got a lot of scripture, so I'm going to try to lay down a foundation. And there's a lot of things I guess you could say, but I'm just going to get into the Word of God. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And we're excited to have Pastor back soon, so keep him in your prayers. We've said that a couple times, but we are thankful for our pastor and his family. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, starting with verse 30. And the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the Levites and all the people, both great and small. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord and walked after the Lord and kept his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in this book. Then he made all who were present in Jerusalem and in Benjamin join in, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to all the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations from all the territory that belonged to the people of Israel, and made all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God all the days. They did not turn away from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Amen. You may be seated here this morning. Amen. If you have ever been part of a restoration or renovation project, all the men said amen, then you know sometimes, and ladies also, then you know sometimes it is best to expect the unexpected. If you've ever remodeled your home or restored a car, maybe you feel like you're restoring your car without even knowing it, but if you've ever done a small renovation, then you know that it can easily turn into a big renovation. And it is without fail that the unexpected happens when we begin to take things apart. Sometimes we don't really know how bad it is until we reveal it. If you tear out carpet or something, you don't really know what you're dealing with until you tear it out. Amen. We find things such as rotting wood and mold and unleveled foundations and so much more that can halt the project in its tracks. And as we cringe at the sight of how bad it really is, anybody ever been there? We have no choice but to go back to the drawing board and reevaluate and see what is needed to proceed. See, in the business of restoring or remodeling things, we should always expect the unexpected. There is always a surprise that you didn't see coming. How many know that's true? And in Psalms chapter 139, 1 through 6, I'll read it. David wrote this. Says, "You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going and my lying down. You are familiar with my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me and too lofty for me to obtain. We serve a God that is not surprised by evil or caught off guard by the goodness. Amen. He's not taken back by our failures, nor is he startled when we overcome. He is the master restorer. I said he is the master restorer. Amen. Amen. There is nothing we can do or say that really surprises him. And in Mark chapter 7, verse 37, it tells us that he has done all things well. I'm thankful to serve a Savior that does all things well. When life has caught us off guard, and when the unexpected has happened in our life, and when we are taken back by our failures, I am thankful that I serve a God that does all things well. Amen. And sometimes our lives can be like that renovation project. With God being the master restorer, it goes so much better. And in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, I'll read it in the ESV, and many of us know this, but it says, I will restore to you the years that were the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, my great army which I have sent you. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 3, it says, God, your God, will restore everything you've lost. He'll have compassion on you. He'll come back and pick up the pieces from all the places where you were scattered. And if I will allow him to guide us and guide me, he will consistently bring us back to his original plan. He will give us the tools that we need to build our life on his word. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. It is God who works. If we allow him, he will work in us both for his will, but also to do his good pleasure. God has a plan for you and I, and he is the master restorer. And we read it earlier in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 that King Josiah began to repair the temple. The Bible tells us that the kings of Judah before him let it go to ruin. But here we find King Josiah beginning to repair and beginning to restore it. He had the plan and he worked the plan. Amen. He had the material in place and he had the men for the right jobs. And during this time of restoring the temple, during the time of fixing it and putting the flooring in and all the things that he had to do, the lumber, it said he had carpenters, but it says that while he was restoring the temple, that Hilkiah the priest found a scroll that had been lost. It was during this time that they were restoring it that Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law that was written by Moses. Can I say that when we start allowing God to restore us and when we start allowing God to build our foundations, that we are going to find some things that we have lost. Amen. We're going to find some things that have been buried. I know chaos can consume our day, amen. And I know that distractions can bury our time before we even know it. But if you and I will ever allow God to restore some things in our lives, and forever we will find stuff that we thought we would never see again. When we allow his word to begin to speak into our lives and when we respond to it, God will begin to restore us. But we have to respond, amen. I have to act on what I hear. I'm going to go off on a little side note here. I guess I've had it for too long, and it's burning a hole in my Bible, so I got to say it. But I stole it. It was from a preacher from Canada. I'm just saying his name because he said it, Daniel MacKillop. And this is what he said about responding to the Word of God. He said, one of the reasons a pastor will call an altar call is because it is important to respond to the Word. It is important to take things to the altar. And he began to list all these things, and he began to list the reasons why we respond. But then he said this, that it may be the only time or the only opportunity that someone gets to respond to the Word. It may be the only time that person allows the Word to take root before they leave. And spiritually speaking, the birds of the air pluck up the seed. And we know there's many reasons why we respond, but I want His Word to take root in my life. I want to be able to respond to that spoken Word. It's so important to respond and allow God to change us, because it is easy to walk out and let the cares of this world choke out the Word of God. I don't want His Word to be lost in my life. I know that's just a little side note, but I had to say it because it is important. It's the reason we go to altar calls. That's the reason Pastor gives altar calls, so we can allow that Word to begin to develop and change us. But we find King Josiah kind of in the same position. Not only was he given the Word that was lost, not only was he given that lost scroll, but it was also read to him. He heard it spoken to him. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 18, it says, then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And King Josiah would respond much differently than the king in Jeremiah's day. King Josiah didn't respond like those before him. He could have responded any way he wanted. He was the king, but this is how he responded in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 19. It says, and when King Josiah heard the words of the law, he tore his clothes. When he heard the words of the law, when he heard the words from the book that was lost, the Bible says he tore his clothes as a sign of mourning, then commanded the priest to go to God. You see, Josiah was convicted in such a way that when he heard the word of God, he literally mourned because he knew he was not in obedience with God. King Josiah realized that they had abandoned their foundation. And what is fascinating to me is how King Josiah responded to the conviction that he heard. We ought to be thankful when conviction hits us. We ought to be thankful, even though we don't always like it. We ought to be thankful when God's still pricking our hearts and still pulling at us. King Josiah responded to the conviction that he heard. The first thing that he did was he repented. He started making changes immediately. King Josiah began to appoint men to take the scroll to a prophetess, and who confirmed that God's judgment would be poured out because of how Israel stood and how they were living. The judgment of God was to be poured out on the people of Israel. But because of Josiah's humility and repentant heart, because he responded to the word of God, the Bible says that King Josiah would never see the disaster. The judgment that should have happened and the disaster that was supposed to happen, King Josiah would never see it because he responded to what he heard. And I don't want to sound like doom and gloom, but as bad as things may get from time to time, I can't imagine the disaster that he's kept from me. I can't imagine the judgment that should have been placed on me. I'm thankful that he's held some things back in my life. I'm thankful that in spite of everything, he decided to withhold some things from my life. And I know this may be a testimony for many, but some of us shouldn't be here today. Some of us shouldn't have another day, but because of the mercy and the grace of God, we're still here. Amen. One of the greatest things we could have accomplished, and one of the greatest things I've accomplished, was the fact that I responded to his word. The greatest accomplishment I have is that I responded. The Bible tells us that King Josiah would take the elders of Judah and Jerusalem and all the people into the temple. It says, then he would read to them the words of the law. He pledged to obey the law according to all that was written. He renewed their covenant with God. He removed the idols and commanded the people to worship the one true God. King Josiah realigned himself with the word of God. King Josiah made sure that the foundation that they were going to build on was the word of God. He made sure that the foundation was strong. In Bible times, a cornerstone was the first stone that was set in constructing a building. Never built a building, I don't know much, but did flooring for just a moment, and they got this 3, 4, 5 measurement that you can take. And you go one way, 2 foot, you go the next way, 3 foot, and then you can go across 5 foot. And you check that corner, and it should be square. It'll tell you if things are square, it'll tell you if things are out of line. And that cornerstone was the first stone that they would set in constructing a building. And all the other stones were laid in reference to that one stone. It was a type of measurement or standard. It's the construction measurement. Everything else was measured off. If the construction measurements ever seemed off, the builder would go back to that cornerstone and check all the other measurements by that one cornerstone. The entire building was based on that cornerstone. It was the most important foundational part of that structure. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. Our foundation should always be measured from his word. Amen. Amen. And whenever our measurements seem off, we should always go back to what he had given the apostles and the prophets, which we go back to the word of God. It is our foundation. It is our foundation. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus was wrapping up what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He was talking about many foundational principles that the entire Bible was built upon. And Jesus, he would close out with this verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 37. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Jesus said that those who hear and don't do or follow the teachings are foolish, and their lives are built on sand. But Jesus said those who both hear and do are wise and have built their life on the Word of God. They have a foundation that will go through the test of time and storms. He said we must hear, but he also said we must do. I'm reminded of a scripture in James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. A couple verses later, it says this in James 1, 25. But the ones who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves being no hearers who forget, but doers who act, he will be blessed in his doing. Whenever we see ourselves through the Word of God and refuse to act on what we see in His Word, we are doing ourselves a disservice and risking our lives falling apart at the storms of life. Amen. Amen. Jesus described what happened to both the wise and the foolish builder. The house of the man that who was built on the rock stood firm in the storm, but the house of the foolish builder fell. Jesus even emphasized on the foolish builder's demise. He said, and great was the fall of it. I want to lay a foundation that doesn't fall apart at the slightest shaking or inconvenience. I want a foundation that can be measured off the cornerstone called Jesus Christ. His word keeps us steady even when everything else is falling down around us. His word is true. His word is true. And I have tried to lay a foundation here today because Monday is coming. And Tuesday is coming. And at some point, whether we like it or not, we're going to have to leave this building and go back out into the world. And we will walk into a world filled with pain. And we won't have like-minded believers around us. There will be wolves waiting for an opportunity to use and abuse. Trouble can easily be found on the outside. Darkness and depression so easily plague this world. And if we are not careful, if the foundation is off just a little, the enemy of our soul will come in and simply put a question mark where God has put a period. And just like Adam and Eve, it may look good. It may look right. It may even feel right at the moment, but at the end of the storm, there won't be a house in sight. The very structure that was built falls all because it was just a little off from the cornerstone. I don't know what God has been dealing with you about. I don't know what word or what God has been putting on your mind and your heart. But I know I'm preaching today, but I almost feel like reaching for someone that's been cherry picking your way through life, if we could say. I've been there. I want to reach for someone that has allowed the cares of this world to choke out the Word of God. And I simply want to remind us that this is our daily bread. This is our daily bread. I want to remind us that we can not always go to last year's manna, but sometimes we need a fresh word from God to better the foundation that we stand on. I want truth to be the very blueprint that changes me. Amen. I want the truth to be the very blueprint that God changes me. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Paul gives insight on how vital the Word of God is to our foundation. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and says it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, The Word of God equips us for every need in life. Because even a verse later in 2 Timothy 3, verse 17, it says this, that the men of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want to remind us here today that every aspect of life can be built on the principle of Scripture. God's Word never becomes obsolete. It says all Scripture is inspired by God. It is, and it's even found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It says, men of God spake as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. And here are some points that I hope we can take away from this study. I hope we can take this away from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, the word of God is profitable for doctrine. We've heard this. It teaches us the necessary way to salvation. It teaches us the pathway to heaven, the eternity and eternity with Jesus Christ. Says the word is beneficial for reproof. It will show us when we're doing wrong. Amen. As it did to King Josiah and the people of Israel. Says the word of God is valuable for correction. It will not only point out the wrong that is being done, but it will show us what we should do instead. And it will always lead us back to a path of restoration. Lastly, the word of God is helpful for instruction and righteousness. It leads us to wholeness and will guide us to a place of right standing with God all the days of our life. What I love about the word of God, because you can learn life aspects. I'd say the most I've learned is coming to church on Wednesday nights. For me personally, it's helped me grow. It's helped me build my faith. It's taught me life aspects. It's taught me how to act in relationships. And even though I have to work on them, my wife says, but it helps us. We need those things. It helps you how to deal with friends, families, and so on. Teaches us work ethics at home, at school, even on the job. Education, both spiritually and practical. Teaches us health, spiritual, mental, physical, and emotionally. Teaches us our private thought life and everything we do. These are just a few of the principles that we learn when we allow His Word into our lives. When we allow God to build our foundation, we are allowing God to do what Paul talked about in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When we allow God to renew our mind, the renovation project starts. It is the difference between God and us, because when the matters of issue arise and obstacles come up in the renovations of our mind, this is the difference between us and God. God's Word has the tools, the material, and the blueprints to bring a full restoration. God's Word has the tools, the material, and the blueprints to bring a full restoration. And this morning, I want to remind us that restoration and wholeness can happen when God begins to speak. Now, our life will literally become an instrument for God to prove Himself to others. We become a living testimony of the power of God's renovation abilities. We become an instrument for God to prove himself to others. We need the foundation. We need our foundation to line up with that cornerstone named Jesus Christ. Everything we do, everything we learn, everything that ends up being reproved or correction comes our way, we need to just step back and align ourselves. We need to do what King Josiah did and repent and immediately start making those changes in our lives. I'm coming to an end. If we could have the musicians and if we could all stand. But I don't just want another house in the sand. I don't want the storms of this world to break me like they have so many times. But I want my mind to be renewed. I want a foundation that will stand the test of time. And I've written down just a few verses since we are talking about the Bible. The Bible says, living according to the word keeps us on the path of purity. Psalms 119:9. Blessed is everyone who hears and does what the word says. Luke 11:28 says, when the grass withers and the flower fades, the word will still remain. It endures forever. Isaiah 40:8, Matthew 24:35 says, the word is flawless. It never leads us to wrong. Psalms 18:30. When we hold firmly to the word of God, we will shine amidst a corrupt generation. Philippians 2:15. The word is a light and gives understanding. When we seek answers, we will find them in the word. Psalms 119:130. The word is God himself. John 1:1. To love God is to love his word. John 14:15. The word is right and true. It proves and speaks of the faithfulness of God. Psalms 34:33-4. I have two more. Holding on to the word will make us as disciples of Jesus and will lead us to truth and set us free. John 8:31-32. And the last one is to accept the word, we must reject immorality. The word is the only way to salvation. James 1:21. I know it's simple today, but I just couldn't shake this. I don't know what God has been speaking to you personally. I don't know what may have been lost throughout the years. I'm not even going to give a specific word here today. I don't know what your foundation looks like, but I'm going to ask that you make a decision here today. That whatever God has been talking to you personally about, whatever God has been nudging at your spirit, that you will respond to him. That you'll respond to his word, whatever he's been calling on, whatever he's been speaking to your mind throughout the week. And I'm going to ask what we do every week. If you're comfortable, will you allow God to renew your mind? Will you respond? Will you come to the front this morning? Will you make your way to an altar and let whatever God has been telling you to cut off of your life, whatever God has been telling you to let go, whatever God has been calling you to do better at. He does all things well. Come on, why don't we lift up our hands and respond to the word of God? And as this music team leads us, let's just begin to talk to them. Yes, yes, I don't know what you've lost. But God wants to restore it. Yes. Yes. instruction comes, God, allow me to respond to your word. Allow me not to run. Allow me not to hide, but I want to respond, God. I want to grow in your word. It is a firm foundation. It will stand against the storms of this life. It will stand against the storms that we face. What a wonderful song to end on. He is a firm foundation. I don't know what God's been speaking to you about. I don't know what you've been going through. But I felt like God just wanted to remind somebody to measure up. Don't let the correction, don't let the reproof, don't let the instruction make you fall away, but allow it to help us grow. In Jesus' name. Shake someone's hand. Let them know that you were happy to see them here today. Amen. Let's come expecting God to move. Let's show up for Wednesday Bible study. Let's show up next Sunday expecting God to do great things.